You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Great job on the K Show with Michael and Peter. Rolling into us. 1-800-919-3776. We're here until 10 o'clock tonight. Ian Begley of SNY will join us at 8. We'll talk a little NBA. We'll talk a little Knicks. Talk a little Nets as well. See if we can figure out who's going to coach these two teams going forward. But we begin where everybody's talking about. The change finally in the nation's capital of the Washington football team. And it has taken a long time to change. 87 years, right? 87 years. And this is not the first time that people have complained. This is not the first time people have thought and have asked it to change. This is not the first time that people have really protested, been angry, wanted a change of that name because of what it represents to Native Americans. Finally. And unfortunately for me, the cynic that I've become in covering sports in the years that I've done it, it has to take money to get it done, right? It's about money. It wasn't about the fact that it was the wrong thing. It wasn't about the fact that it was oppressive, insulting to Native Americans. No. It wasn't about that. It wasn't until FedEx threatened to take their name off the team's Landover, Maryland stadium at the end of the season. It wasn't until Pepsi and Bank of America and Nike later said that this needs to change. Because the owner has said year after year after year after year. Daniel Snyder said that will never change with a capital letters in never. Well, guess what, Daniel Snyder? You're wrong. It has changed. And thankfully for the good. Now, from what we're hearing, the color scheme is going to stay the same, and that's a good thing. There should be some transition. But I'm just curious, what do you think the new team name should be? There's a bunch out there for your suggestion, for your thought process. We've got Red Tails, we've got Renegades, Monuments, Veterans, Red Tail Hawks, and Warriors. And as of right now, Warriors were in the forefront. So we get your thoughts about that at 1-800-919-3776. But let me just say this before we get to your calls. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to be part of a simulcast with a radio station in South Dakota. The radio station was KILI, Keeley, and it is staffed by Native Americans. And in having conversations with them over a 4 or 5 year period, it really broke to me how badly insulting Native Americans felt the name of the Washington team formerly was to them. And let's be honest, they weren't very happy or ecstatic about the caricature of the Cleveland baseball team either. That's for another day. But they weren't very happy with that. But they really felt, and despite the fact, and listen, despite the fact that Washington enlisted a Native American to develop, design that caricature that they had previously with the team, they still were not happy with it. And it's not so much about just in the explanations and the discussions we had. It wasn't so much just the name, but it was the legacy that it put forth to their young people and generations of Native Americans that really forced them to say, you know what, this is enough. We're tired of this. This is just plain disrespectful. And so, yes, it took a long time. Yes, it took the offshoot of other things that people were protesting in this country as we look at various statues that are being pulled down, as we look at other things that's going on, that this became a part of it. And it was time now for people to say, hey, you know what? We can do better. Let's get away from that. Let's be creative and come up with a different moniker for this team. Now, I must admit to you, the statement from Washington's football team today was pretty, ugh. How about that? First of all, you notice it was still on the previous stationery. Logo still there. Let me read you the statement. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of what our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing that we will be retiring the previous moniker. They listed, I won't name, and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition, rich franchise, and inspire our sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Once again, clearly the influence of the sponsorship was the reason that Washington decided and Daniel Snyder decided to change the moniker of this team and the logo of this team. And it's kind of upsetting. It just is. You would hope that after seeing the opportunity to fall in line when things were being changed, when things were moving forward, where people were trying to giving folks the opportunity to correct a wrong, that Daniel Snyder really was pinned to the wall before he would do something. Legendary Washington star Daryl Green was on the Michael Kay Show with Michael and Peter, and Daryl applauded Dan Snyder for changing the team's name.
I extremely applaud Mr. Dan Snyder for this decision. I think it's the right thing. It's the honorable thing, and it gets us in position, man, to move forward. Just like so many other things have been done in the nation in this last several months and weeks, that it really positions us. I think it also adds to how we speak to the fact that maybe human beings will finally take their position again of being the most important of all creation. Meaning that they're more important than money, they're more important than sports, they're more important than a computer, more important than your Lamborghini. Human beings and how they feel and how they care. Matter of fact, the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but the loving. We can just love one another and we can give people a chance to be successful just by having peace. And so Dan Snyder is the hero of the day, in my opinion.
Kind of disagree. And I understand what he's saying. Because Daniel Snyder could have fought and said, you know what? No, I'm not changing this name. I'm not doing it. Okay, I know what people are saying. I know how people feel. It's not the first time they felt that way. I'm not changing it. But he did. And he changed it for the reasons I mentioned before. He changed it because of sponsors. He changed it the same reason why several years ago, the NBA removed Donald Sterling from ownership of the LA Clippers. Because when you walked into the stadium, sponsors who were very upset at what the comments that Donald Sterling made had covers over their sponsorships. And so clearly, everybody said, you know what? It's time to remove Donald Sterling. Let's be clear. People knew how Donald Sterling felt. This was not the first time he had made those comments. But it was the first time that it was about to cost money. And so that's the situation for Dan Snyder here. So while I understand Daryl Green applauding the owner, and I understand that in his opinion, the owner could have drew a line in the sand, dug his heels in and said, nope, I'm not changing it. It was about money. The pressure that the sponsors put on them to change it, that's what got it changed. Daryl Green was also asked, has Snyder or anyone else contacted you regarding changing the team's name?
They probably won't call me. I'm not really a big hero. I'm not real recognized around Redskin Park, and that's not a bad thing. I just don't have that relationship with them like some of the greats have in their cities, and that's just the way it is. And
why is that?
Well, that's not this conversation. Okay. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know, and it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother me. It's okay. I'm Daryl Green, and I'm good. But to your point, though, I would love to be in that conversation. I probably won't, but I would love to. I would be humbled to be in that conversation just because it's just an honorable place. But I'm not typically the guy that gets that nod. And for some reason, and to answer your question, I really don't know. But I'm not vying for that. That's not what I'm, I'm not knocking on the door for that. So that's not a big deal. But it is a great time. This is a great time to, if I could ever be in there, this would be the time I'd want to be in there. That's for sure.
And I think he should be in there. I think a number of the great players should be involved in naming what this team should be. Because they are part of that history that Daniel Snyder and the release that I read to you earlier from Washington is about. They talk about their proud history. They talk about all those things that made this Washington team great over the years. And let's face it, they have had very, very good success in the National Football League. Those Joe Gibbs teams, those teams that were able to win Super Bowls. Listen, you mean to tell me Doug Williams can't be involved? Daryl Green can't be involved. There's a number of great players who have been on this members of this Washington franchise who should be involved. Joe Gibbs? You mean to tell me Joe Gibbs shouldn't be involved? I mean, I think it's a perfect way to reset how this franchise has looked and how they're going to be going forward. So I think that is a way for them to set forth a new direction. Because let's face it, Washington has had some issues on the field as far as, having some success. And it's, when you have problems like that, all roads and all eyes look to Daniel Snyder. They just do. That's the owner. When your team does not do well, people look to ownership. And this will be a way to ingratiate some of the former players, to have them more of a part of this franchise, and to get them moving forward.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Getting your thoughts on a new name for the Washington NFL franchise now that they have changed the moniker of the one that has been under a lot of scrutiny for the past couple of years. Kenny's in Queens. Hey, Kenny, you're next on 98.7.
Yeah, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Kenny. What's up?
I would believe, being that the guys that be in the stands with the pink outfits on, I believe that they should change the name to the Washington Warhawks. I really believe that because that's what their logo is right there now. And I think that would be a better choice and for the Washington Warhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hear you.
Cause the fans are crazy about the pigs, you know what I mean? So you can't say the Washington Pigs. That'd be
No, can't do that.
You know what I mean? That'd be too lame, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I believe the Washington Warhawks, it would be a strong name for them, and they could take it from there.
All right, Kenny. All right. Thanks for checking in. That's interesting. Obviously, Kenny referring to the fact that, and Ira referred to it as well, is that has been the identity of the Washington franchise has been their offensive line. It goes back to, the 70s with the big offensive lines that they had there. And, while here the Giants refer to them as Hog Mollies, Washington has always been referred to as the Hogs. And that offensive line and guys used to wear, the pig masks with dresses to refer to the fact of how big and powerful their offensive line was. So Kenny wants to weigh in with Warhawks. See what Buddha's talking about. He's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, Uncle Larry? How you doing, big bro?
I'm doing good, partner. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I miss you, man. I know you was on vacation, man, in the last week. I was on a couple of fishing charters, so I didn't have any reception to call in. But I definitely got a freezer full of stripers and some sea bass, so that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Listen, man, Uncle Larry, man, the symbolic gestures, you know, the name changing of the jerseys. I mean, the name change of the team, the name, the slogans on the back of the jersey. They're nice, and they're a good first step. But I got to refer back to what my brother Cornel West said maybe like about 3-4 weeks ago. He said, look, I love what's going on, and I love how things are coming together, but we must be prepared for the backlash. And, you know, just to provide a little information, like on the job, you know, I work with 40% of my clients are formerly incarcerated, you know, 99% black men, you know, looking for employment, trying to get their lives back on track, you know. And, you know, we've been having a decent amount of success this year. But something that was very interesting happened. There were a couple of companies, I'm not going to put their names out there, but all of a sudden they rescinded some of their donations. And, you know, it was wrapped around the COVID-19 and the money crisis, but we kind of understood what it was. You understand what I mean?
I got
a lot of this stuff that's going on, you know, it's similar to sports. It's similar to teams. Like, it is, we said it 1,000 times, it's absolutely asinine to think that you could have a team sport, football, baseball, even basketball. All there's no way that you're going to be able to do this and pull this off successfully without some of your stars getting sick. There's no way it's going to happen.
Already happened.
But, yeah, right. And the thing is that it's just, it's more of the same. And, you know, there's a large segment of this country that no matter what's going on, I just want it to go back to the way it was. And, you know, we're going to see how this plays out, you know, through elections and things like that. But a lot of us, we look through things through our eyes. You know, okay, this definitely makes sense to me. I can see how, you know, that this needs to change. There's a lot of people, a lot, even people who socialize with us, even people that we work with, who see things totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. You know, because some of this name-changing stuff and some of, you know, a lot of these voices that are being heard, it's infuriating some people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and
oh, yes.
You know, and you know, just want to see how that plays out. You know, hoping for the best, but always preparing for the worst. You take care, my brother, man. Good to talk to you, man. I miss you.
Good hearing from you. Same here. Thanks for checking in. Listen, there's no question. Everybody doesn't agree with what change makes some people uncomfortable. Change is good, but it still makes some people uncomfortable. All right, and so. We're waiting to see how everything goes. We would like for it to go smoothly. But normally, when it's something worth fighting for, you're going to really have to fight to make it change and stick. Okay? And even once you have it the way you want it to be, then the fight is just begun because now you have to fight to keep it that way. So, no, I understand what you're saying, Buddha, but listen, we'll take the small victories along the road in the war. You win the small battles, and eventually, hopefully, you turn around, and you before you know it, you add everything up, and more things have changed positively than have not changed. Joe's in Long Island. Hey, Joe, you're next on Carlin.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Joe.
I just had an idea for the name change. I was wondering, why wouldn't they change it to the Washington Natives? You know, if you think about it, like, you know, Native Americans are the indigenous mm-hmm. people of America, and it seems like a good way to give reparations to a community that feels slighted, and rightfully so, you know? That's a very, mm-hmm. you know, racist kind of name that they have right now, so.
Yeah, that's not bad. I would take that under advisement, Joe. Thanks for checking in. That's
right?
Not bad. Yeah, that's and I understand your thought process with it, that you're honoring Native Americans by saying the Washington Natives. Now, some people might look at it to say, oh, you mean everybody that's from Washington, where, you know, and listen, even if you look at it that way, that gives like a city environment, a state environment that we're all part. The Washington Natives are all part of a group. So, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. And I like the thought where it's coming from. So I enjoy that as well. So, you know, that's what Washington is doing right now. We already understand that the color scheme is going to stay the same. There have been some thoughts that most of the teams, sports teams in Washington have their color schemes are red, white, and blue. You know, the hockey team, the Capitals are red, white, and blue. The Nationals are red, white, and blue. And the Wizards are red, white, and blue. So there was a thought process that, hey, you know what? Maybe they'll do the same thing. Well, no. It's clear. They're going to maintain their colors of burgundy and gold, but they are going to, thankfully, change that logo, that caricature of a Native American, and they're going to change the name of the Washington franchise. And if you are a Native American, if you are an organization that has written to the National Football League, that has asked various commissioners of the National Football League, a number of owners of the Washington franchise to get this changed, today you're very happy with that change. It is something that you have an accomplishment of. And it was so interesting to read some different comments and aspects of it, and to say that, listen, it's not the political part of it. It is how it affects, these are folks representing the Native Americans and some Native Americans who were speaking, saying that it's how it represents our young people, what they are now called, how they are perceived, how what it does for their self-esteem. And so these are the things and the reasons why we wanted it changed. And so as far as Washington is concerned, that's a good move. Once again, for me, maybe I'm a little oversensitive to it, but the caricature of the Native American in Cleveland, I think that needs to be adjusted. But listen, that's just my opinion on it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
During the break, Kyrie and Joel, who along with Giselle are riding with me tonight in for Carlin, they are Nets fans. And they just, they blew up my cell. We'll take those two. We'll take Jackson Dolan. We're good. We're good. We're happy. I got fire emojis. I got 100 with underlines on my cell. Ready to go. They think it's done. Perfect. I will admit, I would be curious to see what they would be able to do. Now, will Lou be able to deal with Kyrie again? And I don't know what their relationship was when they were in Cleveland. I do not know. Did not cover that team. Not going to try to speculate. But is that a situation that would work? That's what the Nets have to figure out. That's what Sean Marks and the crew have to figure out. As far as the Knicks are concerned, look, we've all known that Tom Thibodeau has wanted this job, right? Tom Thibodeau wanted this job before David Fizdale got the job. Tom Thibodeau, while working for us at ESPN, as you heard me mention with Ian Begley, traveled around to various coaches and teams to see how they ran their practices, what they did with their programs. Because he does not have the best reputation. He didn't have the best reputation in front office in Chicago and with a couple of the players like Derrick Rose. And then in Minnesota, obviously, as Ian referenced, he was president and head coach, which means that he wore two hats. And listen, if you're unhappy with the president, then you're unhappy with the coach. So, yes, he does not have that issue here. It is always interesting to me to see what coaches have learned from their previous experiences, good or bad, especially bad. Especially what have they learned when things did not work out in their previous location? What adjustments do they make? We always focus on what players do, right? We always focus on what are the players going to do? How do they adjust? What are they going to do? Well, coaches have the same thing. And I've said this over and over and over again. When Pat Riley took over this Knick team when he came here, he did one of the things that you would love as a player and as a fan. And what he did was he looked at the personnel he had and he adjusted his game plan to that personnel. All right, so James Worthy and Magic Johnson was not walking through the door at the Garden, so they weren't playing Showtime LA. They were playing what this Knick team was able to play, which was a slow-down, physical game and score as many points as they could. And he was able to have sustainable success with that. Should they have won the championship? Yeah, I think they should have. Should they have been able to do a little bit better? Yeah, they should have. Did they need a couple more players? Yeah, they did. But for the most part, his game plan of fitting the personnel with the plan because of based on the personnel. That's how he fit his game plan. That's the way to go. So we'll see if Thibodeau is going to do that here. But by them bringing him here, I think, and Ian agreed, it signals that this is not going to be a major young team. Okay, there's going to be some. There's going to be a veteran influence on this team. There's going to be more veterans than young players, because normally in the situation, well, there's two schools. All right, normally one school would be, hey, look, we get a young coach with young players. They grow together, they learn, they improve, they start to win together, and then we'll evaluate where they are, and either if they're ready, if he's ready to take that next step with them, he stays with them. If not, we'll bring in the veteran coach and push him to the finish line. Or it's, well, we're betwixt in between. We've got some kids, but we're going to have some veterans. So let's bring in a veteran coach so we can kind of give an identity to this team. And what is this team going to be? Now, as a Knicks fan, I want them to be a young team. Okay, you spread some veterans in. I have no problem spreading veterans in. Because veterans, the right veterans, of course, they're the one that teach you the game. They're the one that teach you how to play, teach you to be professional, all that stuff. So you would love to have some veterans. But you also need to build your young players, the players you have. You have to develop them and give an idea to the young players you're drafting what is expected. Plus, that's going to be the way that you will find interest from veteran players, free agent players who look at what you have, what you've done with it, and say, okay, you know what? They're headed in the right direction. I think I'll go there. So what they still need to do is to develop the young players they have. They need to develop RJ Barrett. They need to develop Mitchell Robinson. Okay? Whatever the decision has to be made about Frank Ntilikina. A decision has to be made about Dennis Smith. They need to decide what they're going to do with their young players and then build around them with some veterans. If that apparently is what the game plan is. I would prefer younger players, but that's just me. What do you think?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Your thoughts on what the Knicks are doing, what they plan to do, their head coaching situation, the philosophy of this team going forward. And that's a concern for me. I got to be honest with you, because this team has not proven to me that they understand it, and it's unfair. Leon Rose has just got here. World Wide West has just gotten here. Okay? But free agents don't want to come here. So if they're banking on free agents coming here without putting forth a representative team, it's going to be tough. It's still going to be tough. It is. Think of it this way. If you're a free agent and you look at how this roster is constructed right now, based on how it ended last season, or this season rather, and of course they're not involved, so they're not going to play again until December. Do you think you have a chance to win coming here? And look, we understand. They had to go for Audible X. They didn't get the guys they thought they were going to get. Had to go to Audible X and just field a team. That's what they had to do. But now, with a new head coach, and you're trying to start a new building philosophy, a new identity, I don't know. Doug's on Long Island. Hey, Doug, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, partner. How are you?
Good. You've got the MVP on the boards there, my guy, K. Will. He's a great guy to receive your calls and everything. And I just want to jump right in. Obviously, I don't talk too much about the Knicks because my brother was there for many years.
Understood.
You know, but it's cool. He's still a fan. I'm a fan. My family's a fan. And I just will say one thing about that situation. It will take time, but the New York fans and media will not give time, because here's the thing. They say, We haven't won in 20 years. Well, whoever comes in gets 2 to 3 years, and then you boot them. Mm-hmm. You don't do what the Sixers did. There is no trust the process and look at them now. God, they were horrible years ago. They were kept getting the first pick, and it was just, but we are not going to wait anymore. So I know Leon well. I know Wes well. Wish them both the best. Obviously, I know Scott very well, and I wish them the best. And obviously, with me, Kenny is one of my dearest friends. Mm-hmm. So I hope that he gets the job. I mean, he, myself and Billy Donovan are still very close. And I hope he gets the job. And I like Tibbs. I think they're great coaches. I think Mark had an opportunity to be here years ago. I mean, I know he did. And it just didn't happen. And I wish whoever the best over there with Brooklyn, because it's going to be interesting, because you have interesting personalities in Brooklyn. And it will be a challenge. And I don't know. It's just like anything. Any of us. I mean, I was only a drafted guy. I was never, you know, big time player that played in the league for years and years. But I will tell you one thing: you have a short rope in the NBA with most franchises, and if you do not produce or you don't lead up to expectations, you are gone. I mean, I think some of those. I think those were great deals, grabbing a guy like Mitchell Robinson. I think it's going to be a great utility pro. And no one else wanted him. These guys grabbed him. I still don't think letting go of Alonzo Trier, waving him, is the best thing. I think he's going to be a good player. I just think he's got to be better on the defensive end and just things like that. But I just, you know, I wish both franchises the competitive best. But I just look at Kenny Atkinson. Man, he took lemons and made them into lemonade.
He sure did.
Put lemons into the playoffs.
He did.
He's one of the best coaches in the league, hands down.
And the other thing about him, Doug, and the other thing about him, Doug, and you know this because you know him well, he helps you develop talent. Look what he's done to the point guard. Look what he did. Look what he did last year to D'Angelo.
D'Angelo, and guess what? He told D'Angelo. I'm telling you, he was the kind of guy that said to a guy like D'Angelo, "Okay, you're doing well offensively. If your ass doesn't play defense, you'll sit here with me." That's how he is, and it's not a disrespectful thing. Black guys, white guys, we all love the guy. The guy's a great guy. There's no malice. He's just a coach's coach. He's like Billy Donovan. Billy will tell you the same thing. You don't play this way, son, you can sit here next to me. And and people respect that. Everyone doesn't respect it, but D'Angelo bought in and he resurrected his career. It wasn't gone, but it was wavering.
Yeah. And so look at it now.
I'm a Kenny fan. Yeah, I know. I'm just a Kenny fan, and I, you know, I'm still a Knick fan. My family will be Knick fans forever. And, you know, it's just interesting. We were all talking about a lot of this stuff today earlier. I was with the famous Chuck D, who's a former Steve. Yeah, Chuck is one of our dearest friends. He grew up in Roosevelt next to us and told you how my community was. We're doing a little movie there. It's coming up soon on the 1 square mile. We had everybody and their mother on our block from Howard Stern to Dr. J, John Mackey, Eddie Murphy.
Wow.
I mean, ridiculous. For a town of 1 square mile, it is the most famous 1 square mile on God's green earth.
Yes, indeed. A lot of talent out that way in Roosevelt.
Yeah, lots of talent. A whole lot. Just I don't know what's happening now. You can't, I don't know. This whole thing scares me. My son is in school at Montverde, you know, the best high school in the country, and I don't know if he's going back because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is scary.
It's a scary time, Doug. It's a scary time for us because, you know, we were talking about change earlier, and this change because of COVID-19 is going to change us in a lot of ways that we're not prepared to change because uncertainty that we don't know. This virus, it changes from time to time and how you react to it. So that's what's going to make the difference.
I got a quick call from Tommy Amaker. He's like, no sports, Ivy League. I'm like, Mike, so that's you guys, too? Well, so far, it looks like no one. Because every time we turn around, another player tests positive for COVID. Imagine football. It's just, I don't see how it goes on and continues. And if it continues, what if LeBron and Anthony Davis test positive?
Yeah, I know.
You talk about an asterisk. There'll be a, this was just a season to play. It won't be a championship. It's just, we just played it out. That's what this will go on in the basketball almanac. Going to say 2020, the year we just played it out. You know, it's crazy. But I really enjoy the show, and I really enjoy everything. And I know my buddy Chuck is listening to you now because I told him I was going to call in. So, you know, we'll talk with you soon. And I, and like I said, I still love the Knicks. We all love the Knicks. I still talk to all the players. as does my brother. And we wish everybody the best. You know, you get a shot, you do your best.
That's it. You got to take it. Got to make the most of it. Do what you can do.
You do what you can do. And I still will pound my chest for my brother. He's the first guy that I saw that created cap space and got five first round picks. Yep. Never saw it before in Knick history. We never had any money.
It's true. So, whenever you had the good free agents, Doug, and thanks for the phone call, man, and give your brother our regards. Thanks for checking in. It was funny because whenever there was a free agent, he didn't have money. It's true what he had to say. They were able to make his brother Steve was able to make some moves and facilitate that, and you know, that's a positive. And then you just hopefully the draft is a roll of the dice. You try to make the most of it. And then once you get that player, you have to develop them. You have to give them, you have to improve them so that they take that next step.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Do you think I would leave this job to coach the Knicks? No. Nope. I like what I do here. I like talking to you on the phones. I like our interplay. I like having these conversations. Coaching the Knicks? No. I couldn't do it. Nope. One of the other conversations we were having with Ian Begley, which is interesting, and we were talking about COVID-19, and we'll move to baseball at about 9:15 here on 98.7 ESPN, because that's kind of where I'm going there with baseball as well, starting in 10 days. NBA starting in 17 days, as you heard in the update at the top of the hour. And so you're hearing more and more players being tested with positive. Russell Westbrook is a player who's been tested positive recently. He announced it today. Tim Bonteps was on the Hoops Collective. And when you're talking about this, and Ian Begley kind of made the same comment, it is, okay, they understand that they were going to possibly be some positive tests, but hopefully not when they all get to the bubble. Here's what Tim Bonteps had to say.
Once the virus is in the bubble, it's hard to stop it then, right? You have so many people practicing, you have people around, milling around. Players aren't going to be that far apart because once you're in the bubble, it's supposed to be safe. So this, to me, is the really critical time for the NBA, this next 10 to 14 days. If we can get to the end of July and the NBA has not had any virus positive tests in the bubble and it seems like things are secure, I think the NBA could feel pretty darn good about their chances of pulling this thing off. I think if we start to see in the next, 3 to 5 to 7 days, positive test starts to crop up. Now the teams are practicing, people are milling around. Then all of a sudden you could have an outbreak and things would be bad. So I think that right now, the time that we're in really could be the thing that sinks or swims this whole thing. Because if the NBA can get through it clean, like I said, I think I'd feel pretty confident about their chances of being able to get through this to the end without a dramatic outbreak of the virus.
And that's the key thing. When everybody is in the bubble, well, it's kind of a bubble, partial bubble. For the players, it's a bubble. All right. So when the players and coaches and staff are in the bubble, if somebody tests positive, that's going to be the scary thing because it means that something has infiltrated the bubble. And that's where you get your major concern. All right. Because you're looking at a scenario where, as I think Doug mentioned last hour, our caller, that now you've got one of your main guys. Russell Westbrook is a, to borrow Dickie B's moniker, a primetime player on this Houston Rockets team. If he can't go because in the postseason, and let's say hypothetically they get to the Western Conference Finals, and he can't go because he's contracted the COVID-19 virus, that's a major thing. If Giannis Antetokounmpo can't play because he's contracted the COVID-19 virus, that's a major thing. Your primetime players, if a bench guy gets it, it's not that big a deal. No, it's still a big deal because they're around the team. They're all around the team. You're going to do contact tracing? They're all together. They're all together. So that's the concern you have with this being in the bubble. Concern you're going to have in the NHL. Even though, as I've mentioned previously, Obviously, the numbers are not near what they are in the States, up in Canada, but you've got players coming from all over the world. And there have been a couple of players who have tested positive in the NHL before getting to the two cities. All right, so, okay, test positive. Make sure you get it quarantined. And once you get in your host cities, which is kind of in a bubble NHL-wise, then you can move forward from there. And hopefully everything will be okay. But that's the concern I have. And even more of a concern with baseball, which we're talking about in a couple of minutes. Back to the phones we go. 1-800-919-3776. Trey's in Brooklyn, Texas. He's next on 98.7. Hey, Trey.
What's going on, Larry?
I'm doing good, man. What's happening?
Everything is everything, man. It's always good to hear from Doug, man. He gives a lot of insight, man. His brother was in there. It was in them buildings every day.
Yes, he was.
So a lot of insight, man. And I know a lot of Knicks fans probably, you know, they don't really care about that, but I do. So I appreciate him calling in because he doesn't have to call in, man. Because,
nope.
You know, we know how his brother left, and that doesn't need to be brought up or spoken about. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You know what I mean? And like he said, I ain't never seen nobody else get us under the cap like that.
Nope. That's right.
He put money back in the pockets and then got fired. So
that's right.
It is what it is, man. Business is a very fickle thing, man. It's sort of sports,
is.
Man.
No question.
With this Knick thing, though, Larry, it's funny, right? Because it looks like we're going in the direction like you spoke about earlier. We're going in the veteran direction, and I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling it, Larry. I don't think we came all of this way to go try to get a bunch of vets who are going to tear up knees, tear up shoulders, cash a check, and then leave us high and dry again. Mm-hmm. That's the way this seems like it's going to go. And so right now, ain't no more World Wide West, man. His name is William Wesley, man. They got some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to earn that moniker with me. LeBron and them can give it to you because you helped them. You know, they got championships and all that. We don't have nothing. So, William, get to work. And the rest of y'all get to work and build us a winner, man, because I'm not feeling the direction now, you know, especially if, you know, and not a knock on Tibbs. I think Tibbs is a great coach, but Tibbs is not a coach that's going to be conducive for children, for younger players in this league. He's not going to be conducive to help them. That's not what he does. And I think any organization that brings him in, they understand that. You know, that's one thing that all of these organizations, they know the coaches in this league. So they know which each one is bringing to the table. I just don't think that if you bring him here, that doesn't show that y'all are going to cultivate young kids, cultivate draft picks, take draft capital and flip it, do what you got to do with it. It sounds like you're about to go try to go get the Greek Freak, which ain't going to happen, and try to go get, you know, player X. That ain't going to happen. How many times do we have to get jerked around, Larry, as Knicks fans? And how many times do you have to put your hand on the stove to know that it's hot, Larry? That's not that way's not working for us.
Here's the thing, Trey. You hope that the new crew, understands that it's a combination. And clearly you're looking for that for both of them, but especially Leon Rose, because he's been an agent forever. And he understands what's the selling point to his client to go to a specific team other than money. Because here's the thing. You look at players today. Do they not want the money? No, I'm not going to say that, and that's not what I'm trying to say. Of course they want to get paid. But they also want to win hardware. They want jewelry, Trey. And so they're looking for where they can do that, make their money, and get a chance to have a championship. That's what they want. They now want their cake and eat it too. Gone are the days of the players. Look, I just want to get paid. I'll go to the Knicks. They're going to offer me the most money. I'll go there. It's no problem. I'll get paid. Then end of my contract, I'll go somewhere else and try to win. No, that's not what players are doing now. Players want to win and get paid. And they don't want to do a lot of hard work, Trey. So what they want is they want to go to a place where they can see there's some young talent there, that all they have to do is be the last piece to the puzzle, not the whole puzzle.
But don't you think that that's going in a – don't you think that's counterproductive, Larry, when you really think about it? I understand what you're saying. But don't you think that's counterproductive for the overall – well-being of this franchise at the end of the day? Because what y'all saying is, we're going to try to get a quick fix ring in here, try to get us a quick playoff berth, a quick little something, and if it don't work out, then we'll bring somebody. You see what I'm saying? It's like we're spinning our wheels. And I just feel like if you just break this thing all the way down, even that, like they've been doing, like front office-wise, they've been doing well, getting rid of old garbage that don't need to be here no more, getting rid of, you know, people that aren't, that can't take us any further, i.e. Mr. Mills. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, mm-hmm. that we can't go no further with you. So you've done a yeoman's job. Now we got to take that ball and go further with the draft capital that you've left us, with the money that you've left us. I just feel like that's all for naught, man. If we say, hey, we're going to bring the Greek Freak in. We're going to bring in LeBron. We're going to bring – that's not happening, man. That's not happening, no. man. I want to go draft a bunch of kids. That's what I want to go do. I want to, and then can't nobody tell us nothing. And then can't – you know, it's like we can't be poisoned if we – I think the league is poisoned with the Knicks. Like, everybody knows that the Knicks are just a bad franchise, right? And I don't know, man. Now I'm nervous, Larry. Before I was trusting William Wesley. Before I was trusting Leon Rose. Now I got a lot of trepidation because now y'all telling me we're going to bring in Tibbs. He's going to try to bring in vets. Like, that's not going to work, Larry. God bless, man. I thought we had a clear vision last week. It seems like now I'm starting to hear Tibbs, and it's like nothing but vets, and now, man, we're going to bring the Greek Freak. Larry, that's pie in the sky, man. We got to – first off, we need to be coaching. We need to get a coach in here so that we can develop Mitchell Robinson so he can get a left hook and a right hook because mm-hmm. he doesn't have those things. You see what I'm saying, man? We got yep. work to do internally with R.J. Barrett still. Mm-hmm. I just think we're spinning our wheels, Larry. I feel the direction right now. I hope –
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Trey. We lost him. All right, we'll talk to you again. Thanks for calling. I hear what you're saying. And here's the thing, though. Let's see if it is Thibodeau. Once again, the other side of this coin is that Ian Begley indicated that he has tweaked his game. He has tweaked his philosophy. So let's see what that is. Let's see if, as a member of his coaching staff, there is a person here that's great in development. They've already made changes in their scouting system as to who's going to make the decision on drafting. So that seems to be a positive. So let's see. Is there a person that's going to be here that's going to make your young players better in development? And is Tibbs going to make the adjustment knowing that, listen, he knows his reputation. He knows that why he hasn't been working. So let's see if it is him, let's see if he makes the adjustment. So we'll give him that opportunity, if indeed it's him. And then we'll wait and see what this roster looks like. Here's one thing we know. Greek Freak not coming in 2020-21. We know that. He's not coming in. So what will they do? And that will give us an indication. Okay, who are they going to draft? Will they draft that top point guard that you and Chris have been breaking down for the past month on ESPN New York Tonight? Is that what they're going to do? Because that's where it starts. It starts there. It starts with your draft. And I know you want to draft a bunch of young kids, and I got it. And I like the young kids too, okay? But you have to draft the right kids. And every kid, listen, is not going to be able to make that transition. You have to be very selective in who you have. And that is determined by the identity of the team that you're going to try to put together. Is this a run and gun team? Is it a team? Look, for me, I need some shooters on this team, some three-point makers. I keep saying it. The Hall of Famer, Al Trawick, said it a couple of years ago on the show, and I agree with him. You need three-point makers. This team doesn't have that. Not consistently. That's what you need. So let's see what the team is comprised of. And once again, you know what happened last year. They had to go to Plan X. It was about putting folks on the team to have a season. But at least they were mostly one-and-done deals. So those people are gone. You can bring other folks in. You can do some things. So let's see how creative this team is. 1-800-919-3776. We'll continue to talk basketball, but I want to talk about baseball as well. 10 days away, Yankees found out this weekend that they will be without their closer probably to start the season because of the COVID-19 virus. They're traveling, Mets and Yankees, to a number of hotspots, Florida, Texas, Arizona. They're going to have interesting situations. How do you feel about your team? Met fans, how do you feel about a new owner? And where's Robinson Cano?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.